Hallelujah. Well, isn't that exciting? It is Labor Day weekend. Hallelujah. And how exciting it is to have Monday off. Aren't you all happy? Hallelujah. Well, unless you're in a field where you don't get Monday off, you know. But that's okay, because we still honor God in all that we do. And we're just so grateful for the opportunity to be able to gather and to celebrate the fact that God is our provider. And He provides all the resources that we need. And so we can celebrate. We can glorify God. We can be excited about what the Lord is doing. And as we are beginning a new month, this is September already. Wow. Wow. Back to school season. Hallelujah. And I saw a box out front with some supplies and stuff in there. So if you need any, just take them. They are free. So just take those. And I just threw that out there. I don't know why it popped into my head for some reason. But but here we are. We're at the end of the year already, and we're beginning to transition into the final quarter of the year, and we're wrapping up our summer theme of being appointed of God. We are the appointed of God, and this month's theme is the homecoming. God has prepared a place for us, and He has prepared a way for us, and as a result, you and I, we're on a journey through life. We're not just living, surviving, just trying to deal with everything that happens. But God has given us a roadmap. He's given us a plan. And the plan is that we would ultimately be restored in God. That we would be able to find our way back into the presence of God, into the home of God, even ultimately in heaven. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. The Word of God says that there is a place that is being prepared for each of us, and that when Christ returns, He will bring us back to that place where that He has provided for. And so homecoming is so important in our lives. Are you familiar with homecoming? When you were in school, did you have homecoming, right? Colleges have homecoming, right? Did you go to college? Yeah, they have homecoming. High school definitely has homecoming, right? Did you go to high school? No, they don't. They did. Man, I remember our homecoming. It was that time of year when I was in the band, right? So yeah. So I was at all the football games. We were doing all the stuff. You know, we would be marching, and you know, I played saxophone. So we would do all these moves. You ever see the bands when they do all the fancy designs and all the swirling around? Well, that was me. Yeah, you know, and you're playing the music, and you're counting 1, 2, 3, 4, left, 2, 3, right, 2, left, right. And you're doing all these maneuvers as you try to play this music and go along. And homecoming was this season where everyone would return home. People who went away to college, they'd come back. It was generally around Thanksgiving. It was usually the Thanksgiving Day game was the homecoming game. And so when everybody would come, we would all come back, and you'd see all of the people who graduated in years before, over decades even, and they would have this thing where they would call out the oldest person there, you know, who graduated. You know, it was sometime in the 60s or the 50s or something like that, and there was this whole big celebration that would take place. And everybody would be all excited, and there would be a big game, and there would be this whole celebration around homecoming. And isn't that what happens with the kingdom of God? God is planning a homecoming. There's going to be a day when you and I, we are going to find ourselves coming into the presence of the Lord. We will be in the Spirit of God, in the presence of God, and there will be rejoicing. In fact, the Word of God says the rejoicing has already begun. When people die in the Lord and they go out into the presence of God, there's a celebration. There's a celebration of people who come into the presence of the Lord. In fact, the Scripture says that there is rejoicing for every soul that is saved, that comes to Christ. And so when we lead people to Christ, there's a celebration starts. There's a great celebration in the kingdom of God. That's a homecoming celebration. That means that God has reconciled someone. We've come back into the presence of God, into fellowship with God, into a relationship with God. That's what Adam lost. Adam lost that in the garden. And so through Christ, we're all restored in God. And that is why we celebrate. That is why there is rejoicing. It's because of what God has done. He restores his people. He renews us. He revives us. God is a God of reconciliation. He washes us. He forgives us. He renews us. And he gives us a new start. This is powerful. And that's why the Word of God says every day the mercies of God are new. You know, people's mercy builds up every day until they finally snap, right? But the mercy of God is new. He forgets the past and he says, today, let's start fresh. Let's do over. You and I are able to keep the party going because yesterday's mess ups, we could say, all right, forget that. But there's today. There's today. And God says, it's a brand new start. And that's why you and I can rejoice. That's why we can be grateful and we can be thankful, because we're not holding baggage from yesterday, or we're not holding someone's faults or sins from yesterday into today. We're forgiving. We're letting go. We're laying it at the cross and we're saying, God, have mercy. And the Lord will handle it from there. And you and I have reason to celebrate. We have reason to give thanks unto God. And that is why we are rejoicing. That is what a homecoming is. And God is bringing us back into the fold, into the house of God, into the fellowship of the saints. And that is a powerful thing. And if we're going to live according to the principles of God and according to the Word of God, we have to be able to be strong. Isn't that right? You need to be able to endure through life. In fact, they tell me that you need strong bones if you're going to be able to be physically fit and to do and be active in the things of God, or even in life. If you're going to be an athlete, or if you're going to go to work and you're going to do the things that you need to do to have healthy body function, you need strong bones. Isn't that right? Right? If you have weak bones, you know what happens, right? You have breaks easy, right? You get osteoporosis. All right, I won't say that word again. Yeah. So, but you will have porous bones. You'll have holes in your bones. Hallelujah. You know, I can say it when I don't have to say it. It's just not, I don't know why I can't. I got tongue twisted. And so the question is, what kind of bones do you have? What kind of bones do you have? Because you need strong bones if you're going to take a hit. If you're going to play football, you can't have weak bones. And if you're going to go through life, you've got to be strong boned, because there are going to be challenges. There are going to be difficulties. You're going to take some hits. And you're going to find yourself in the struggles of life, in the difficulties of life. And if you're going to have any type of success, you need strong bones. You got to be able to take it. And that is why we need to be strengthened in God. God strengthens us at the core, at our very core, the very center of our being. Christ is our inner strength. He is the one who fortifies us. He is the one who establishes himself in us. You need strong bones. When your bones are porous, when they have holes in them, you'll find yourself weakened. And what the enemy tries to do in our life is he tries to divide us. He tries to separate us so that we lack density, so that we actually have holes in our relationships. We have holes in our relationship with God, in our relationship with each other, and in our ability to do the will of God, to do the things of God. And as a result, when he hits us, when we are impacted by the challenges and the difficulties that we face in this world, we find that our bones break. we begin to fall apart. We find ourselves collapsing or falling down. Some people fall apart. Coronavirus has done a lot of damage to people's minds. A lot of people were thrown off because of the disconnect. You know, it's what they do to prisoners. They put them in solitary confinement, right? When you try to break someone or you try to humble them, bring them to a place of humility and brokenness. And they found that when people are isolated like that, that their minds go to work against them. And it's a battle against the mind. And that's what Satan does. Satan attacks us in our mind. And if we can be separated from fellowship, separated from the communion of the Holy Spirit that increases when people come together. There's a reason the scripture says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst, because there is strength. There is power when the Spirit of God that's in you and in you and in you and in you and in me and we all come together. There is an intensity of God's presence when the density of the people of God come together. And that is why the Word of God says as evil increases in the world, we're to gather all the more so that we become more dense. We are strengthened together. We strengthen each other. We are strong boned because the world is increasing the power in which it is hitting. It is attacking. It is going against the principle of the Word of God. Life is about a challenge of words. The challenge of words. And the issue comes down to whose report will you believe? Whose report will you follow? Will you listen to? Because whoever you listen to, whatever report you will hear, that becomes your master. That becomes the authority in your life. And that is why we need the Word of God. That is why we need to be strengthened by coming together so that we can have strong bones in order to stand against the attacks of the world. And the world is using words against us. There's an attack through language, through wording, through the things that are said and done. And ultimately, it affects the mind. And that is why you don't want to be a sponge. You don't want to be a sponge. You don't want to be porous where you're disconnected from the fellowship of the saints, where you're separated from the communion of the Holy Spirit and from the house of God and from the work of the ministry and the call of God. You want to be like a brick where you're pressed in, you're pressed together, where you're strengthened, where you're fortified so God can use you to build the kingdom of God. And so we want to be like the bricks. Sponges, they absorb all kinds of stuff. When you clean with a sponge, it sucks in all the stuff you're trying to get rid of. And it becomes a part of the sponge, so much so that ultimately you got to throw the sponge away. Isn't that right? Yes, because it gets so much bacteria in it that you can't keep using it. And that's what happens when you're disconnected. And that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to bring division into the lives of the people of God. So you're on your own. So you're by yourself. So you have to try to figure it out on your own. And you're making decisions based on your limited knowledge and ability. But when you're a part of the body, when you're connected, when you're pressed in, it's not just you, but you have the support, you have the help, you have the wisdom and the guidance of all those who God has brought into your life, into the fellowship of the saints, and you are strengthened. And you can stand against the attacks of the enemy. You can stand against the challenges and the difficulties of life. God will provide for you. And when you're connected in the house of God, you will never lack for any good thing. You will never lack for any good thing. Why? Because God will make sure that you are provided for. Because you're connected in the body, in the house of God. And God will watch over his word to perform it. He will watch over his people to sustain us, to keep us, to make a way for us. And that is why it's so important to be pressed in together, to eliminate those pores. Nobody wants porous bones. Everybody wants strong bones. You want to be able to fall down and get up. Hallelujah. You want to be able to take a hit. You want to be able to wrestle and be able to take things down. I tell you, my grandkids, they attack me sometimes. They like to jump on me, and they want to wrestle, and then they want to... If I didn't have strong bones, man, I would be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs by now. Many times I've taken hits in the head with all kinds of toys and crazy stuff. And so you need strong bones. I'm telling you, I don't know how I got such wild kids, but, you know, they're wild. And you got to have strong bones. And life is that way. You go through life, and you got to be able to take hits. Sometimes you take hits in behalf of the team. You take hits for others. You take hits because somebody else needs you to take the hit for them. And it helps them in the long run. And that is why you have to be strong-boned. You have to have a healthy core in your relationship with God. And that is why God always maintains an open invitation. He maintains an open invitation. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us so that we may apply your word in a way that will enable us to be strong-boned, to be able to endure the challenges of life that the world brings our way, and that we would be able to be your representatives, be your ambassadors, and bring strength and wisdom and the healthiness of the kingdom of God into the lives of the people around us, that they too may come to know you and come home, come into the relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, the word of God is quick and powerful, the scripture says. And it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And as God is looking for us to all have a relationship with the word of God, it is the word of God that holds things together. In fact, the scripture says if one dot or a tittle, which are punctuation marks in the Hebrew language, if any one of those punctuation marks were to fall away, that all of creation would disintegrate. And that's how much the word of God is able to hold things together. And God is wanting us to have a relationship with Jesus, who is the word made flesh. He's the living word. So when you receive Christ, you're believing, you're receiving the word of God, and there's a spiritual dynamic that begins to happen in our lives, but also it places us in a position where when we meditate on the word of God, as the word of God tells us to do, then something spiritual happens. When you obey the Bible, when you apply the principles of the word of God, there's a spiritual connection to it. It's like when you take two wires out of the wall and you stick them together, there's a short that takes place, right? Because one is grounded and the other one has a hot lead. And when you put them together, you get a spark. And when you stick something into it, it causes it to turn on. You know, it lights up. What is a light? A light is the filament burning. It's like fire that takes place. And the word of God has power in it. And when you are grounded in the word of God, the strength and the power of God lights you up. Hallelujah. And you now have something in you that other people don't have, so that as you're going through life and as you're operating in the strength of God, the light of Christ is operating in you. And what happens is all of a sudden, you're able to accomplish things that other people can't accomplish. You're able to endure things that other people can't endure. And the challenges and the difficulties that you face are easily able to persevere through them, not because of you, but because God goes before you. The light of God goes before you. You know, God, he is light, and in him there is no darkness. So the light of God goes through us. And that is God, he enables us. That is what the Spirit of God does. And it's the anointing of God that empowers us. He suits us up so that we can have experiences. Your relationship with God is about a series of experiences. God is not just saying, well, just believe, just believe. No, it's not just believe. It's believe and then watch God work. You see, the belief is in what God is doing. But even before you believe, God shows you something so that you can believe. It's not just blind faith. It's just not, well, just believe it. You know, no. That's not true. The Bible clearly teaches to have faith in God. That means not just the idea of God, but in what God has done. But you have to first see what God has done so that your faith can increase. And as you go through life, the more you're communing with God, the more God enables you to see. If the world is in darkness and is a dark place, and the word of God is light and Christ is light, the idea is that God is shining his light in your life so you can see where he is taking you, what's happening around you, what's going on, so that your faith can increase. Isn't that right? If we turn the lights out in the room, which we have done, and it's pitch black in here, totally dark, your confidence in getting out of here will drop significantly. Isn't that right? Well, I'm not saying that you won't be able to get out, but to get out unscathed without tripping and falling over something or banging into someone or bumping into somebody else is greatly diminished when the light is gone. And it doesn't matter how familiar you are with where things are in a room, when there is no light, your confidence level drops. But when the light of Christ begins to shine in your life, your confidence level will rise so that you will go through life with a revelation and an understanding that will build your confidence in God, because what God enables you to see. And so God has this invitation for this to happen. And that is why we are the appointed of God. God appoints us to live during this day and age, and we've talked about this over the past couple of months, the importance of understanding that God, he already knows what's happening in the future. He's already planned for the future. He is aware. He knows everything you're going to do. He knows how well you're going to do it. He knows how badly you're going to mess it up. He's already aware of that. And he's got a contingency for whatever you think is bad that you do that would hinder you. God already knows. And he still wants to use you anyway. But that's how awesome God is. If I already know, look, I know when he gets down there, he's going to fall right on his face. So you know what? We're just going to put a pad down there so when he falls, at least he can get back up. That's the kind of thing God will do. God will prearrange things so that you will be in a position where God can be glorified. Hallelujah. So when you fall and you get back up, you can say, well, glory to God. You got to say glory to God, because you know the thing you fell on could have been something else. And it could have been worse than it really was, but God buffered you. And that is why the scripture says he doesn't allow things to befall you that you can't handle. It's because God is already going before you so that you can have a reason to glorify God and to honor God. All you need to do is have the light shined on it so that you can see what God has done. Hallelujah. And that is what God is doing in your life. That's what it means to be the appointed of God. You're going through life not just by random. It's not just by random chance. God already knew, and he's already got a plan. He's already got a plan. You say, well, you don't know what my life is. Nope, and I don't need to know. All I need to know is that you're here now, and God wants to use you, and he's already got it worked out. So however it's going to be, whatever it was back there is no consequence to me. I'm only concerned about where we're going from here. And God is wanting to use his people based on where we are now so that tomorrow can be greater than yesterday. Hallelujah. And so, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Right? That's why he says, just glorify God in your body. Let God use you. God is looking for a vessel, right? Spirits need a body, right? Stargate SG-1 has the Jaffa who carry these symbiotes that are Goa'uld, right? So the Goa'uld are creatures like snakes that attach themselves to the spine of humans or human-like people, and they live through them, and they take on the personality, all that. All right, I'm a sci-fi guy. You guys know that. And so, you know, the spirit of a person dwells in a body. Our bodies are actually under the influence of a spiritual entity. And it doesn't matter who you are, every spirit was designed, or every human was designed to house a spirit. Hallelujah. Right? You know, God created man. What did he do? Right? He blew, right? Like a balloon. When you blow into a balloon, what do you get? It's an airbag, right? It's a balloon. It holds air. It was made to hold air. You don't get a balloon if you don't intend to blow it up, right? And that's what the human body is, like a balloon, so that spirits can be blown into it. And that's why Satan wanted authority and control in the world. And so you and I have the Spirit of God blown into us. When the Spirit of God blows in, the spirit of darkness is flushed out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so that is why the Word of God says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Because if the Spirit of God fills you up, there's no room for the devil to get in. And Satan tries to get into people's minds. He gets them to believe the same thing that Adam and Eve went through. You and I, we face this every single day. He said things. He began to contradict what God said so that he could have authority and control over the people, so his spirit could impact people. And this is why you see some people that are possessed by, you've seen demonic people, right? You've seen people who are possessed by a spirit. And it's a very common thing. People are possessed all around us. We just don't call it that anymore. We call it some sort of ism, right? But it's really a similar thing. It's a spirit that has overtaken somebody, and now they're operating under an influence that is not of God. And it's not normal. And so you and I, we are filled by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God consumes us, and we are shielded against every evil work. And so we're not like sponges where we're absorbing every kind of thing, all kinds of stuff. But we are like the brick, and we are strengthened and we are hardened so that we can hold others up. We can be built up. We are strengthened in the Lord. We can be like the wall that keeps out the enemy. And the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, strengthens us. That's why Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Right, he's not the pillow of our salvation. He's not the sponge of our salvation. And so we are strengthened in God. We're hardened against the attacks of the enemy. We see this in the story of Nehemiah in chapter 1. In verse 4, we know the story of Nehemiah, how his mission was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after the Babylonians and the Chaldeans came in and they just destroyed the city. And they had taken captive the people of God. And so here they are now, and they're in this place where God is bringing restoration. He's restoring the place of worship. Jerusalem is the center and the core where the temple of God dwells. And it's where the Spirit of God dwells. And you and I, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And God, he indwells us. The Spirit of God fills us so that we can be strengthened in God, so that when we go out into the world, we're not like sponges just absorbing everything. We're going out fortified, strengthened in God, so that people can run to us and be safe. Because we are like the mighty fortress of God. And the Spirit of God, he strengthens us so that others can impact us without knocking us down and breaking our bones and we fall apart and turn into a slab of meat. And so verse 4 says, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. This is a picture of a man with a solid foundation, a man with strong bones. As you can see, he has this understanding of the importance that when you see evil around you, when you see the results of evil in people's lives and in the situations and circumstances that we face, we don't just ignore it, but it caused him to mourn. And he wept. It was so impacting. He began to weep over what was happening to the people of God. And he said he began to fast and pray. And whenever you see fasting and praying, that word of God in the scripture, that's a particular phrase or word that's used in the original Hebrew and even in Greek. And it's really translated fasting prayer. So it's really a type of prayer that means you're not eating, but you're praying instead. That's what fasting prayer is. Fasting prayer means instead of eating, and it's talking about eating food. I know some people like to fast TV and they like to fast other stuff, but that's not what we're seeing in the scripture. What fasting prayer is, where you're not eating any food in order for the body to come under subjection so that you can focus on prayer. Hallelujah. And I know there's nothing wrong with, if you want to say you fast TV or fast other things, that's okay, you know, but understand that biblical fasting is not talking about TV. They didn't have that, right? They didn't have other technology and other stuff. It was always related to food. And so when we're fasting prayer, is when we give up eating and say, God, I'm crying out to you. I'm mourning, I'm weeping, I'm feeling the pain of what I see going on in people's lives around me, what the conditions are of my nation, of my family and my friends and those around me. And I'm gonna pass up this meal and I'm gonna focus on prayer and call upon the name of the Lord so that God can be glorified. He says in verse 5, I beseech you, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Notice what these parameters are that are being formed in order to experience the favor of God or the move of God. Number one, we see that he's in this broken state, this state of humility where he's crying out to God and he's fasting and praying, but he's also relating back to this covenant relationship with God. In other words, he's saying, God, according to the contract that we have, and that's the Old Testament covenant, the law of Moses, he is saying that he is coming before God according to the contract. In other words, he's following the way scripture tells him to handle situations and circumstances. He's following that. He's doing those things. Are you following me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So in other words, he's doing things the way God told them to do it. He's not just coming how he feels. He's not just operating what he thinks or just, you know, some random thing. But he is following what did God say I should do in when I'm in a situation like this. And this is something we have to learn how to do. Don't just assume that you know or you understand. Go back to the Word of God and read the fine print. Go back to the contract. Go back to the agreement, the Word of God, and say, Lord, how should I handle this? Pray about it before you do it. And that's what Nehemiah is doing here. He is praying. He's coming through fasting prayer before God to seek direction and to get a sense of what God would have him to do before he talks to the king, right? Before he talks to the king. And so sometimes we're in situations that are challenging, that are difficult, and we have to deal with other people. And rather than just going in there and talking to somebody or trying to, you know, make your case or try to, whatever it is, have this exchange of ideas and thoughts and trying to accomplish something that you need someone else's approval or help to do, pray about it first. Talk to God first. Allow God to speak to you, to give you a sense of direction according to the covenant of the loving kindness. Why? Because you love him and are keeping his commandments, right? That's what it means. To keep the commandments of God means I'm not just going to do this any kind of way. I'm going to make sure I'm doing what the scripture says, that I'm doing what the word of God says. And when you live your life that way, when you make decisions that way, when you're fasting and praying, when you're using the word of God to give you direction and to help you make wise choices and decisions and to know what to say and how to say it, that enables you to experience God. Now God is going to respond. He's going to honor his covenant, the covenant of the word of God. In verse 8, it says, "Remember the word which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples.'" Right? So here he is reminding God of what he said to Moses. That's because the agreement was through the law of Moses. So he's going back to that so that he can understand that. And so here he is saying, you said that you would scatter the people. So what does that tell us? When you see people scattered, that means something happened, right? What happened? It says that we were unfaithful, right? Unfaithfulness leads to scattering. When you don't follow the plan of God or the will of God or the word of God, you're going to find yourself scattered. That means you're going to become porous. You're going to be separated. You're going to be disconnected. You're going to be weakened because you're separated. You're scattered, and you don't have the unity and the strength of having been a part of the body or the strength of the body. And this is why you can't just say, well, I can praise God at home, or I can worship God at home. Yeah, sure, you can. But you won't be able to take the hits that are going to come at you by yourself. You're going to need to have gained the strength of the body when the enemy comes against you. And he will come against you. And instead of being a brick, you're going to find yourself more like a sponge, and you're going to start absorbing all the things the world is throwing at you. And instead of resisting, you're going to be impacted and absorbing, and you're going to find yourself dealing with stuff that you really don't want to have to deal with. And you're going to be all alone, and those thoughts are going to be going around in your mind, and you're going to start thinking crazy things and things that are off track. Whereas when you're part of the body and you start thinking crazy things, somebody from the body is going to say, you know, you're thinking crazy things there, I don't know. That's not exactly right. And then you get the perspective from a different person or a different viewpoint that helps bring clarity to your situation or to the circumstances you find yourself in. And so as a result, you live a better quality of life, and you're able to be used of God more effectively. So the kingdom of God is advanced because the strength of God is established in you. You become like a wall. You become like the tower of God. You become strengthened in God. And that is what will happen when you don't allow the word of God to dissipate from your life so that you find yourself being scattered among the people. Verse 9 says, "If you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell." What? How awesome is that? So this is the open invitation. So it says, okay, you screwed up, right? You messed this thing up. Now you're scattered, right? You're out there. You're out there. God says, all right, you know what? The door is still open. He says, all you have to do is just get right. He says, just line yourself back up. Just get back in a line with the word of God. Get back in line with the truths of God, and you will automatically be pulled. You'll be pulled in. You'll get into the flow. You don't even have to say, well, I'm going to go. Well, I'm going to, you know, you might even feel like, oh, I did a terrible thing. Oh, I messed up. Oh, I ruined everything. Oh, you know, all while you're saying that, you're trying to get yourself together. You're trying to do the right thing. And God is just going to be pulling you. And he's going to be going, yeah, 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 you did. Yeah, you did. And he's going to pull you. He's going to pull you. And you're going to just little by little, your heart is changing, right? You're starting to realize, I need to do things God's way. I need to operate according to the will of God. And all of a sudden, one day you're going to be like, dang, how did I get here? You know, and all of a sudden you're going to be where God has called you to be. Why? Because God is gathering you from the remote place, from the far place, because your heart changed, your desire to do the will of God changed. And as you align yourself in the ways of God, in the will of God, God will pull you together. Hallelujah. We can't do it ourselves. We can't fix it. God fixes it. But the secret is, God already knew that that was going to happen. And he had a plan. And that's why you ended up right back where you're supposed to be. That's the love of God at work. That is what God does. And so don't beat yourself up. Don't let the devil get in your head telling you you're not worthy, you're no good. Yeah, we know that. That's why Jesus went to the cross. And that is why we're holding on to Jesus. We're clinging to the Lord. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's only about Jesus. Because I'm telling you, I know my share of mess ups. God has had to redeem me many times. Hallelujah. God is redeeming us in ways that we don't even realize it sometimes. And that is why our faith is in God. That is why we have the love of God operating in our hearts and in our lives, so that God can do a work. When the Spirit of God is stirring, he pulls. It's like a magnet, right? You take two magnets, right? Is it north and south, right? You put the two opposing sides and they go, boop, it pulls it together. And what happens if you turn it around and you do it the other way? You can't put it together. In fact, if the magnets are strong enough, you can hold it together. And when you let it go, it goes, psh, right? It'll shoot them as far as the power of the magnet will drive it. And that's what sin will do in your life. It will cause you to be separated from God. You won't want to go to church. You won't want to be around people of God. You won't want to be around other people that are in sin and in darkness. That is why the scripture says that they love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. And evil deeds drive people into outer darkness, into a place that's as far from the light of God, the revelation of God is possible. And that's why the world today is trying to get rid of Christianity. They don't care so much about Islam. They don't care so much about Judaism. Oh, they do as much as it's connected to Christianity. They don't care. You can be a Hindu, a Buddhist. You can be a Baguga Babaga. It doesn't matter. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. But when you say, oh, yeah, I follow Jesus, oh, now, oh, that changes everything. Why? Because the Spirit knows. The spirits know. They know the difference between truth and darkness, the light of God and the darkness or the deceptive designs of Satan. And Satan is not a big fan of Jesus followers, people who are in a covenant relationship with Jesus, with God through Jesus. And this is why you and I, we can't operate the way the world operates. We can't think the way the world thinks, because we're not of them. And we will never be of them. We will never be like them, because there is something in us. God has, he has breathed into us. We are new creations in Christ. Old things have been driven out, flushed out. Everything is made new. We are under the hand of God. We are the people of God. We're called by his name. There's no undoing it. There's no, you know, you take a tea bag and you stick it in hot water. You can't untea it and turn it back to clear water, right? It's tea is tea. Yeah, all you can do is just drink it. You only have the choice. Do I add sugar or not? Hallelujah. So God has transformed us. He has renewed us. He has revived us. And you and I, verse 10 of Nehemiah 1 says, they are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. That's who you are. This is who we are. Oh, yes, you know, the Israelites, they sinned. They were messed up. The Babylonians came in. They were overtaken. They were overwhelmed. And now God is restoring them as they get themselves together. The invitation still stands. God didn't say, forget you. You're no good. You messed up. Your life is ruined. You didn't do what I told you to do. I can't believe you did that. I don't know why you did. Oh, you're just terrible. Now what am I going to do? I'm going to start all over? Oh, man, somebody bring me a lump of clay. No, God understands. He knows. He knows you. He knows where your heart really is. He knows the desire of your heart. He knows the life of Christ that dwells within you. He knows his spirit that has been breathed into you. He knows the battle that you're in. He knows the temptations. He knows, you know, the enemy is working against you. He's firing at you. He's trying to punch holes in your bones so your structure falls apart. God knows that that is what's happening to his people. He understands the warfare and the challenges and the difficulties that we're all in. And he knows that there are agents of darkness, agents of Satan that come to bring temptation into our lives. The people who try to get you to do things contrary to the way of God. They encourage you. They motivate you. All the things that the people of God do for each other, the devil's people do the same thing. Just watch a TV commercial. And you will see that there is a temptation that is not of the Spirit of God, and it's designed to take you away into the darkness, into a place where the deeds are evil. And God says, you are servants of God. You are the people of God. You've been redeemed. In other words, you have a reservation. There is a place that is being prepared for you. You have a home that is not here. Jesus said, if this was my kingdom, my servants would fight. He said, but I'm not of this world. I'm not of this. I'm not from here. He says, my kingdom and my builder is God. It's not man. And saints of God, you and I, we can say the same thing. That's Psalm 90, right? Moses said it. You and I, we're not of this world. We are bought with a price. We are the people of God. We are called by his name. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Verse 11 says, O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name, and make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. Now I was the cupbearer to the king. He says, this was my occupation. This is what I did for a living. Oh, when you got to go in and talk to the boss, don't just go in there. Pray and fast about it. Say, I'm going to turn up a meal. I'm not going to eat breakfast that day. Or I'm not going to eat lunch if you're going to meet him in the afternoon. And you say, I'm going to pray and I'm going to go in and I'm going to talk to this man in this regarding this situation. God, he will. He will go before you. He will make a way for us. And this is because of our relationship with God. You and I, we're tapped into the home base. We're tapped into the house of God, to the presence of God, to the Spirit of God. We're in this place where the glory of God is being manifested. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, he says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Saints of God, temples aren't made out of sponge material. Temples are made out of stone, out of rock. They're made out of brick, out of strong materials that cannot be penetrated. It's designed to stand no matter what the weather conditions, no matter who attacks it, no matter who comes against it, no matter what the situation or the circumstances are around it. It will be able to stand. Strengthen your bones today. Strengthen your bones in the Lord. Fortify yourself in God. Allow the Lord to use you as the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Let God dwell in you. Let him breathe into you. Let him fill you up with his strength, with his power. Let the life of God come in you. Allow the glory of God to be manifested in your life. You have been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus was paid for you. So glorify God in your body. Let your body radiate the presence of God. Let your body magnify the name of the Lord. Don't allow the enemy to keep you silent, but you declare victory. You allow the trumpet of God to sound through your lips. You allow the Spirit of God to be the witness and the testimony that it needs to be. Ask God to show you what to say, what to do. Let God reveal what he is doing in your life so you can have the story to tell. Allow God to be glorified and magnified in every aspect of your life. And you and I have an open invitation from God. We have to make sure that we're following the plan of God. That's how we keep the temple of God holy. It's the covenant. In other words, stay pure, stay in alignment with the agreement, stay in alignment with the contract. Don't allow the things to happen that are outside of the parameters of the contract. When someone violates the contract, then there's a reason to go to court, right? There's a reason to fight for what you need and what is right. And that is why we stay in alignment with the contract with God. Because when we get outside of the contract, we end up scattered. We end up pushed out. We end up fighting for ourselves, trying to survive on our own. We end up just out there. If when you hold to the confines of the contract, when we stay within the agreement, God will pull you together. He will strengthen you. He will bring density to your bones. He will enable you to endure. He will enable you to stand against the strategies of the enemy. God has called us to be able to stand. That's what sin will do. It will scatter you and separate you from God and the church. But when we align ourselves with the contract of God, we are strengthened. We are empowered. God will gather you. And that's what it means to be holy. I know we've heard that word, holiness, before. It's a little scary the way some people use it sometimes. But when Christ is breathed into you, you become holy. Hallelujah. That's what the Spirit of God does. He makes you holy. He breathes the Spirit of God. It drives out the darkness, and the light of God shines in. The Word of God, when you align yourself with the Word, which is the agreement or the contract, the covenant of God, it washes you. It flushes you. It makes you clean. It renews your mind so your thinking is in alignment with God's way of thinking. You're not the sponge brain that's absorbing everything that's on YouTube, everything that's on Instagram, everything that you find in all of these media forms that are coming at us from every direction. God says, no. No, you got to toughen your mind. He says, be fortified in your mind. He says, put on a helmet of salvation. Allow the Spirit of God to guard your mind so you can be strengthened. When you got a helmet on, you can bang into stuff, right? You can give them a good... When you got a strong brain, strong skull, right? When you got a tough skull, you can bang stuff, and it doesn't hurt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about that. And God wants to fortify our minds. Don't let Satan get into your head. There's always an opportunity to come home. You can always come back. You can always be restored. You can always be renewed. God says, just get your head in the game. Get your head covered. Don't allow the enemy to get in your head. Don't allow him to mess with your mind so that you find yourself scattered. God wants to bring us together. He is unifying us. He is bringing us together. Alignment with the covenant of God leads to a holiness that will cause you to come home. It will automatically pull you back. It'll bring you to where you need to be. That's why in Psalm 18:2 it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress. He is my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Hallelujah. Do you see anything mushy in there? Do you see anything wishy-washy in there? No sponginess in there. It's all about the rock, the fortress. He's the deliverer. He is the refuge. He is the horn of salvation. He is a stronghold. Oh, man, you know, there's nothing that's knocking him down. There's nothing that can stop him. There's nothing that can block him. There's nothing that surprises him or catches him off guard. He's able to know. He understands. You are the anointed of God. You are the called of God. Rise up in the spirit of God and allow the glory of God to be manifested in your life. That's why Revelation 21:3 says, I heard a loud voice from the throne, and it says, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will what? Dwell among them, and he shall they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Oh, saints of God, that's what Jesus did. He fulfilled this very thing. And the Spirit of God is now operating in us and through us. And the glory of God is being manifested in your life. Respond to the open invitation of God. Don't be hardened against God, but be hardened against the world and what is happening in the world. Don't be a sponge. Be a brick. Let God use you. Let him fortify you so you can be among the builders that represent the refuge of God, the very kingdom and the power of God. Allow the healing and the restoration of a homecoming experience to happen in your life. Paul said, for you have been bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore. Glorify God in your body. Let God use you. Live your life in a way that honors God, that brings glory to God. You don't want to be a sponge? Oh, no, no, no. Sooner or later, you got to throw the sponge away. It's going to hold bacteria. It's going to suck up all kinds of stuff. And you don't want to be spreading that around. You need to be like a brick, because God is building a kingdom whose maker is not of man, but of God. God is building up his people. He is restoring his name. He is establishing himself. Let the glory of God be manifested in your life and experience the open invitation of God. Experience God for yourself, because you've been anointed, and he wants to suit us up so that we can have an experience that will lead to a witness of the Spirit of God and a homecoming experience in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you're right, and you're right.
And I put my faith in Jesus, for he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He
God, you have a great future ahead of you. It doesn't matter what the world is going through, because God is going to preserve his people. He is going to shield his people. You just have to align yourself with the covenant of God. Be among the faithful. Be among those who follow the very word of God. Allow the Spirit of God to continually strengthen you and revive you. Let him draw you in. Let him strengthen the very structure of your life, the very bones of your life. God will pull your house together. He will establish you, and he will cover you. He will bless you, and he will make a way even when it seems impossible, the word of God says. He will open doors that no man can shut. He is a God of the impossible. He is a God of the amazing and of the authorities of all that is. God is able. No situation is too big for him. And there is nothing that you're dealing with or that you face that is too much for God. Oh God, he is able. And it's not just religious talk. It's not just religious words. It's not just something that you say. If it was that, you wouldn't be here with me. I wouldn't be here. I would be somewhere else. I can assure you that the word of God is true, and it is real. And no matter what it is that you face, it can be turned around. All you need to do is just align yourself. just align yourself. It just begins with your heart. Just change the way you're thinking about yourself and about what's going on, and align your thoughts with the thoughts that God has given us in His Word. Let the Word of God line up in your heart, and you will see that nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible through Him. And through Christ, you can do all things when He is your strength. And saints of God, oh, tomorrow is going to be greater than yesterday. Hallelujah. Tomorrow will be greater than yesterday. Let God use you today. Let God restore you. Let Him raise you up. And let Him be glorified in your life. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. And we just ask, oh God, that You would mold us and shape us. Help us to see that it's bigger than us, and that Your Word is true and Your Word is alive, and that there is an amazing work that is taking place by the Spirit of God. The kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom of God is able to stand against the enemy. It is fortified in God. And Lord, we are standing in Your presence. We stand in alignment with Your Word, that Your will would be accomplished. We ask, oh God, that You would enable us, strengthen us, Your people, to be established, to know that we are not of this world, but we have been bought by the blood of Jesus. For the sake of the kingdom of God, we are standing and we are looking to You as we come home to the house of the Lord, to the Word of the Lord, to the Spirit of the Lord, to the ways of the Lord, so that the glory of God can be lifted up and exalted in the midst of our lives. We thank You, oh God, for all these things. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Let me down. Oh, yeah.